The transition of Bruce Jenner to Caitlyn Jenner has put a new lens on transgender and LGBT issues. St. Louis Public Radio arts and culture reporter Nancy Fowler wrote about the issue in her St. Louis Beacon Days 2.5 years ago and is now followed up with the stories of two transgender men she met first researching her original series. Nancy Fowler joins me in studio now to talk about her follow-up story, now found on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Nancy, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Don. Great to be here.
Give us just a little background on your research here.
So in February of 2013, after interviewing, you know, dozens of people who were either transgender or intersex or just kind of fell outside the box and considered themselves queer, I created a four-part series called Beyond the Gender Box. And recently I just talked to two transgender men who I had interviewed for that 2.5 years ago.
And did you go back to it because of the Caitlyn Jenner thing that created such a sensation?
That was one reason. That was a big reason because, of course, as you said, you know, that she puts the issue right here in the public eye again.
So. It is. Well, what did you find out? What are some of the things you found out?
Okay. Well, I talked with Kelly Hamilton, who's now 37, and William Copeland, who's 19. So they're really from completely different generations. And Kelly grew up without computers for Will, the internet was a lifeline, you know, and as he transitioned and his family supported him.
Do we hear from him now?
Well, I just wanted to say one more thing, if I could. Kelly's founder and editor of Alive magazine, and he began his transition in his early 30s and identifies as a trans man. But Will, although he says he's a trans guy, he doesn't really identify with that. He's just more of a guy. And it's something that was very much in place when he went to Ladue High School. But he actually knew way before that that something just wasn't right.
The first time I said something to my parents, I was 2.5. My dad was changing me, and I said, God made me wrong. I was supposed to be born a boy. And it was really from then on. I always knew. It was never a question in my mind. I was a guy.
And, you know, you went through school. As we know, the school was, you know, fairly accepting and friends.
Yeah. I had a very strange transition in that it was really gradual. From the time I was probably 5 or 6 years old, I looked like a boy. I just had, you know, worn my parents down enough. They let me cut my hair short and wear my brother's hand-me-downs. So in public, I presented as male. I remember starting elementary school, everyone was so confused when they met me because, oh, like, your name's Grace, but you look like a boy. What's the deal? And for a while, I was just, you know, the tomboy, which at first kids would be confused about, but then they would kind of get it, and I had plenty of friends. I was never bullied. But as middle school got closer, it became more of an issue. I was concerned about puberty, about, you know, all the changes that come along with middle school. And that's when we really started being proactive about the transition. I started hormone blockers in 7th grade, which prevented me from going through female puberty, and then began a medical steroid in 8th grade, which kind of simulated the beginning of male puberty. And then in high school, I started testosterone. But I didn't actually change my name socially until the very end of senior year. I guess I, for whatever reason, thought that I could just be sneaky about it and maybe people wouldn't realize and think I was just a guy named Grace or something, which definitely wasn't the case. But for the most part, everyone was really understanding still. Throughout most of high school, middle school, elementary school, I was just Grace, and kids didn't really judge me. It was just kind of, I don't know, I was just a kid.
And Nancy Fowler, you would have to assume that this had some impact on their social lives.
Absolutely. Kelly Hamilton, his family was in another state. So, you know, they were accepting. But in some ways, the trickier part was telling his new girlfriend.
you know, one constant in my life has been my partner, Sarah. She's this amazing person, and we had been friends for 5 or 6 years before we got together. And we got together like the second day after I'd started hormone therapy, and I hadn't even told anybody. So I tried to bring her up to date, and her response had been, you know, it doesn't change anything for me. And I was like, no, seriously, do you know what's going to happen? I'm going to have a beard. I'm like, are you sure? You've been identified as a lesbian. And so, you know, now fast forward, we're still together, and, you know, that's been one constant. But whenever I go home, my family's in Texas, and they, you know, I only see them a couple times a year. So for my mother, because I transitioned when I was 32 years old, I'd lived as a female for 32 years, I'm her baby. That's a big challenge for her. So in all honesty, that's still a journey that when I went home last time, they were starting to switch. And that was just a few months ago.
And when Kelly says the word switch, he's talking about pronouns, like using he and him instead of she and her.
So this is really a new start, but in more ways than one, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. While Kelly's life is marked more by what hasn't changed, Will's life has shifted dramatically in the last 2 or so years. And Will, as he's often called, wrote his college essay about his transition. But when he got to Tulane University, he felt it was his chance for a complete do-over.
Going to college was an incredible experience for me because it was the first time I was able to just have a clean slate and be Will. Throughout all of high school, I was always wondering what people thought and what people knew and didn't know, what sort of misconceptions they might have about me. But being able to go to college and just be seen like every other guy was really an incredible experience. And now that I've been there for a year, the really close friends that I've made, I've shared just because it's a part of my life, you know. I think it's something that the people close to me should know. Just there are going to be issues that arise relating to it. But for the most part, no one there knows. And I'm happy with that, I would say.
Okay, so you don't feel the need to be a transgender activist, or you're just being yourself.
Yeah. I mean, on one side, I feel like I do have sort of an obligation that if I can help other kids that are in my situation, I should do it. I mean, if I could have seen someone a couple years older than me growing up and someone who had sort of figured it out, that would have been incredibly helpful. So I do kind of feel a responsibility to be that person for younger kids. But at the same time, I also want to put it behind me. So that's something I kind of struggle with.
So you are both trans men, but you are 18 years apart. Is there anything that stands out for either one of you about your very different journeys?
I would say for me, probably not going through female puberty has been a huge impact on my life. I mean, I can't imagine what that must have been like for you. I know my entire childhood, it was my biggest fear. And being able to avoid that was huge for me. So I think that probably has been the greatest difference in our experiences, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, when I realized that my story was really a trans story, I knew that a lot of that was that I came up in what I call like a pre-Ellen DeGeneres world. Like, there were no gay characters on television when I grew up. This was pre-Will and Grace, right? I mean, this was pre any of that. So I worked at Blockbuster Video my senior year of high school, and that's when I got exposed to there were actually LGBT movies, and I like girls. I was, you know, in the middle of puberty sort of, so I was, you know, I kind of conflated my gender identity and sexuality and saw my, you know, found community as, oh, I'm a lesbian. So when I, 18 years later, in my 30s, I realized that actually my story was a trans story. I always carried these memories around. I stole my little brother's underwear. I totally expressed to my sister that I felt like I was a boy because I have these strong memories of conversations that we had. But of course, in the early 80s, they didn't have these kinds of resources. Parents didn't know anything. You know, they still smoked when they were pregnant with us. Okay, so there's a lack of awareness about a lot of stuff. So I think I just had a healthy sense of, you know, I felt like I felt really good in my skin to a degree. I was an activist already. I was very active in the lesbian space. I always felt a little bit outside of that world, and I couldn't put my finger on why. But looking back, I don't have any like, I don't wish that my life had been different. So I processed it a little differently. I didn't feel like I was born in the wrong body. I just felt like this is part of my journey. I get to have lived both. I mean, there doesn't mean there wasn't pain with some of parts of that journey, but looking back, I wouldn't want it any other way because I had an amazing first 30 years of my life.
We are hearing from two transgendered people, Will and Kelly, about what their lives are like now that they've made the transition. It's part of a report by Nancy Fowler of St. Louis Public Radio. Nancy is with me in studio. Very quickly, Nancy, because we have to take a break. They mentioned Ellen DeGeneres. What's going on in media these days must be important to the transgender community.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's Laverne Cox on Orange is the New Black and Transparent. Of course, the series, and so a lot more visibility now.
That has to be helpful.
Absolutely.
We'll come back and continue the conversation, hear more from Will and Kelly and from Nancy Fowler in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Nancy Fowler. We started this conversation by pointing out that really there's been renewed interest in this whole transgender world because of Caitlyn Jenner. Certainly something not lost on the two folks you were talking to.
Absolutely. I asked Will and Kelly what they thought about Caitlyn Jenner's recent coming out as a trans woman on the cover of Vanity Fair. You'll hear from Kelly first.
So I have conflicting feelings about the Caitlyn Jenner cover. You know, on one hand, to me, I see it as it's a moment, you know, it's a first. And that is something to celebrate. Just like when Laverne Cox was not that long ago, just several months back on the cover of Time magazine. I see Time magazine as a marker of time in America. So to have that on the cover says, you know, things are changing. And so I definitely celebrate that. What I, you know, have some conflicting feelings about is maybe the imagery that was presented, and this is some of the conversations that I've had and people bringing it up. You know, she's instead of showing that there's a range of gender expression, she's in a Marilyn Monroe pose, arms back, almost as if they're being restrained, in a corset, very glamorized. Now, it's Vanity Fair, and I totally, you know, that is Vanity Fair. It's celebrity culture in Hollywood. So I can kind of see, take it with both sides. And I celebrate it, but I can see the criticism of, like, really, to be a woman, you need to look like this. And that's what I don't necessarily want to see happen in the long run. Like, that's the messaging that we have to have, that trans women feel like they need to be put in a box. And that's some of what I'm seeing and hearing when I've had some conversations, and I, you know, as if the feminist in me is saying, yeah, like, why is that the message, the visual message?
I guess I don't feel strongly about it one way or another. I think it's good for her that she's, you know, finally happy in her body and finding, you know, the person that she really is on the inside. And I think it's really, really inspiring to see people posting on Facebook, you know, such support when 10 years ago it would be completely the opposite.
Nancy Fowler, I wonder if it's any easier for these two to, given all the publicity that's happened with Caitlyn Jenner, any easier to talk about this with their friends?
Yes, I think it does serve, you know, as a topic opener for sure. And but for Will, it's complicated because he's not really out to that many people as a transgender man, you know, on campus at Tulane. And I asked him whether he'd ever been in a situation where people didn't know he was transgender and they were talking about Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, I remember I was at a party towards the end of the year and someone brought up, it was before she had changed her name and everything, but it was after she had come out, sort of. And there was some guy, like, saying that it was ridiculous and whatever. And, I mean, to me, it doesn't really bother me. I think anyone who speaks that way about it, they're not, like, trying to be a jerk. I think they just don't understand. And I mean, it doesn't anger me. It doesn't bother me. I just feel like they just don't understand it yet.
All right, Will and Kelly talking to Nancy Fowler. Something you wanted to add about that, Nancy?
Well, you know, talking about support and so forth, I asked both of them whether they thought the area and the world has moved forward, you know, in the last 2.5 years since we last, you know, got together and talked. And they both said yes, definitely, that and the reason for that is that more people are out. And so, as we know, the more people that know LGBT people, they know a real person. It's not just an abstract concept, but it's a real person.
I wonder how easy it is for them here in St. Louis.
Well, actually, both of them have had really good experiences, and they know that. They know that not everyone, not every trans person, not every LGBT person has had, you know, the family acceptance, the friends acceptance. In Will's case, you know, the Ladue schools actually were very, you know, accepting and accommodating.
How did you notice any changes in attitude or anything after 2.5 years when you first spoke to them?
Well, I know, you know, with both of them, I mean, Kelly had what was only like 1.5 years into his transition and said that, you know, it's not something he thinks about as much. You know, he really thought he was done. And people would say, are you done? Are you done? And yeah, I'm done. But actually, you know, as the years go by, he just seems to feel more solid and, you know, like this is who I am more and more and more. So, yeah.
But, you know, we all know that given all the most recent publicity, there is still a lot of snickering going on. There are people who like to make fun and make snide remarks. And are they experiencing that to any degree?
They are not really. They really haven't experienced like anything like that they can report, although it does go on, obviously.
I think we've all experienced it to one degree or another. We hear those kinds of remarks, but perhaps that's going to change somewhat now that Caitlin has come out and we hear more from people like Will and Kelly.
Absolutely. The more people that are out, the more acceptance there is.
And, of course, this is a big weekend here in St. Louis and elsewhere for LGBT folks. Lots going on here.
Absolutely. Pride Fest this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and the weather's supposed to be nice, so that's good. And, you know, of course, we're awaiting that Supreme Court ruling on marriage, and that will definitely, you know, affect the mood of Pride as well.
That ruling could come tomorrow. It may not, but it could come tomorrow, or it may be held off until Monday, which it would pretty much have to come by Monday, I suspect. And you're involved in an event also this evening.
Yes, absolutely. So in a Grand Center at our St. Louis Public Radio building in the Public Media Commons, we have an event. It's a StoryCorps event of LGBT stories. So it's from 7 to 9, and people will hear StoryCorps stories. I think 4 are national and 2 are from local people. And just we'll hear them talking about their lives and, you know, what it's like and how things have changed for them. So,
well, the forecast is for perhaps rain.
That's right. But anybody that's planning to come on out regardless, because rain or shine, we'll have it and we'll be indoors if it rains. So it'll go on regardless.
We have less than a minute left. Very quickly, what have you learned through this experience? So it's a 2.5 year journey for you.
Well, I guess a lot of what I've learned is what I don't know. To be a transgender person is a journey that the world doesn't understand, that much of the world is not comfortable with. It's a real commitment, and a real desire to be authentic on the part of these people.
Well, it helps to hear from people like Will and Kelly to understand a little bit better. And if there's any fear involved or any concerns, they can be pushed aside. Nancy Fowler, thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
Coming up, Missouri 2nd District Congresswoman Ann Wagner on a subject she's devoted much of her energy and time to, sex trafficking. It's next on St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.